This program is paid for by Investor Schooling. All opinions or statements expressed on the program are solely those of Investor Schooling or their guests and do not reflect the opinions of WPHT or Odyssey.
WPHT, WPHT HD, WOGL HD3, Philadelphia.
From the Piazza Auto Group Studios, experience the power of one with 8 brands and 25 locations.
Always live on the free Odyssey app.
The Larry Steinhaus Show.
Good morning, everybody, and welcome to the Larry Steinhaus Show. I'm your host, Larry Steinhaus, and joining me today is the infamous Ami Marad, keeping the conversation lively with his humor, perspective, and, well, you know, his Omri-ness. Dr. Deb is out today. She's attending a conference, but she'll be back with us soon. Well, let's try not to get into too much trouble without her, okay, Omri? Oh, man, Omri's still mad at me.
Can we move on?
You're still mad at me. We're going to talk about why you're mad at me in a couple
of
minutes.
I am mad at you.
Today, we're diving into stock options, real estate, wealth building strategies, and we have a special guest, and we'll tell you about that in a little while. We also have the latest politics, economic news that'll impact your money and your future. Expect real insight, real strategies, and, of course, a few laughs along the way, and a little bit of anger from Omri this morning.
You will get it.
He's going to get some anger. Here we go. We're broadcasting live from Investor School. This is going to be a good show, so if you're listening to the show and you're a fan of the show, you definitely want to turn up your volume. There's no doubt it's going to be a good show.
You think so?
Oh, I know so.
Okay.
Anyway, we're broadcasting live from Investor Schooling headquarters where you can learn how to invest, trade, and build financial future you deserve. Don't forget to RSVP for our free Thursday night class at... You don't even want to say it.
What are we talking about?
Say investorschooling.com.
Investorschooling.com.
All right, pay attention because pretty soon you're going to have to read the phone number too.
What phone number?
Whatever phone number you give. All right, I want to thank to all our sponsors. First of all, I want to thank Marketing Agency Near You. That's the team behind all our websites, Investor Schooling, Sultan Income Fund, LarrySteinhaus.com, and our charity, Lev27. If you want to get a free consultation from these guys, go to yourfreeplan.com. That's yourfreeplan.com. I also want to thank PB Adjusting, helping homeowners get more money from insurance claims. If you've been underpaid by insurance, or if you want to learn how to get more money from your insurance, you want to go to pbadjusting.com. That's pbadjusting.com. Of course, the Sultan Income Fund. Invest with the Sultan. Collect like a king. For accredited investors only, offering a preferred rate return of numbers so high, we're not allowed to tell you what they are anymore. And of course, we want to welcome our new sponsors actually here today, the Joe Keller team at Cross Country Mortgage. By the way, the only person I trust to get me a mortgage, I'm going to talk about that if Omri and I stop arguing. We're going to talk about that on the air today. And whether you're buying, refinancing, or investing, Joe Keller will get it done. I'm telling you right now, he will. All right, we want to hear from you, so call us at
855-939-1137. 855-939-1137. 855-939-1137.
All right, grab your coffee. Turn up the volume and get ready for another insightful, bold, and entertaining episode of The Larry Steinhaus Show. All right, Omri.
What do you want?
You want to tell the audience why you're mad at me?
I am mad at you.
Go ahead, tell our audience why you're mad at me.
I am not going to.
No?
No, you will interrupt me any second, and you will just... You enjoy the argument more...
I don't enjoy the argument at all.
...more than the bottom line.
I don't enjoy the argument at all.
I enjoy...
I hate arguing. Arguing is one of the most annoying things for me. It's such a waste of time of my life.
Why are you doing it so much?
I don't argue.
A lot.
Me? When?
With so many people.
Who do I argue with?
Larry. Are you kidding me, right?
No, I have to respond to an argument. That's different.
But
if you say something and I feel you're wrong...
Okay,
or have
but
a different
the way
opinion,
you respond to an argument, always, and I know you for years, it's in a way that puts more oil into the fire.
No, it doesn't.
Yes, it is.
No, it doesn't.
Okay.
No, it doesn't. What you do is you
want
take
a reference?
Everything so personal.
I am.
And as my friend, I appreciate you.
You know why I take things
personal.
But you
take everything so personal.
Very much.
So for you guys who are listening, let me tell you what happened.
Yeah.
So Omri wanted to go see a house yesterday. At what time?
The meeting was at 3:30.
At 3:30. So mm-hmm. He told me to meet him here at the office at 3:30. Now, I know we're going to go with this because this is fine.
Okay.
And then he called me back a little bit later during the day and he said, hey, meet me a few minutes early. Just so we can, whatever, you know, be there, be at the meeting exactly 3:30, which is around the corner. So it was 2 minutes from here. So I actually had a late start. And I got out, but I was at the office at what time, Joe Keller? He has no idea. We're going to talk about Joe Keller in a minute. I don't want to get you involved in the argument yet. But I was at the office at exactly like 3:28, 3:29. I was here. The only reason I know that is because I sent you when I came in. I'm like, where's his car? He's not here. And I figured you were late because you're always late for every appointment.
Right.
I actually figured you were late, which is pretty typical for you. I'm like, really? I rushed all the way over here. He's not even here yet. And then I type in, where are you? And I typed in, where are you, as a text message, and I didn't get a response. And Joe was waiting for me because Joe wanted to become a new sponsor.
I responded to you 30 seconds after with the address.
It's possible you did.
Open your phone.
No, that's fine. I just didn't.
Okay.
I'll tell you, I'll accept the fact that you responded. I just was like, at that point, I was distracted because I saw Joe. And I was like, all right, well, if Omri's not here, I'll wait for him. And I actually said to Joe, where's Omri? And Joe said he left. I'm like, really? He left? Why would he leave?
He could explain to you. I told him exactly why I'm leaving.
Well, okay. But why would you leave if I'm there at 3:30?
Because
if you left at 3:35 I wasn't there, then I would agree.
And that's a bottom line for every person that is interested in being a wholesaler and to deal with real estate. When you have a meeting with a seller, arrive on time.
Arrive early.
Arrive before time.
Arrive early.
I'm talking now.
Okay.
Arrive before time.
Are we agreeing?
Though? Because that's how you present how serious you are. That's part of that. And even if your partner is late, ditch your partner and go to the meeting alone. It's very important.
I won't argue with that one.
That's what I did.
I actually think that was great.
So that's what I did.
Okay.
The problem is...
But then you got mad at me.
Of course I'm mad at you.
Why are you mad at me?
Because I told you how important this meeting is for me. And so I told you...
No, it
doesn't matter. We are not late 5 minutes.
It was literally 2 minutes.
That's something I learned from you.
Yeah, okay.
That's something you asked me to always do. Always be on time.
And I be early.
Or early.
Right. And this was a case where, unfortunately, I was not.
Okay. So you said you could end it by saying, sorry, I was late, and it will all be over.
But I did that 3 times this morning.
Okay, but not yesterday. Yesterday
I was trying to figure out what happened.
Yesterday, I didn't talk to you. I talked to your ego yesterday.
Not to
you. Yes.
You were text messaging. And then you said,
why?
You didn't show up. I'm not going to do the radio show today.
Why I was text messaging?
I'm not going to do the radio show. Wait,
why I was?
No. Read the text message.
Oh my God! You see that? Why I was text messaging? Because Mr. Larry Steinhaus and his ego had a meeting, and they decided together not to answer Omri's calls. So I called like 3 times yesterday, and I did that.
You called when?
Are you kidding me, right?
After, no, I'm just trying to...
Are you kidding me, right?
After you...
I called you like 3 times yesterday.
After...
At 4, at 5, at 6.
Yeah,
and I wanted to sit and talk to you about things. So Larry can talk about feeling, or emotions, or anything like that. He's too man to talk about those things. As a person that... I'm not going there. But I was about to say something about myself.
Are you coming tomorrow or not? No. It's a radio show. I'm looking at the text messages. And you said you threatened that you weren't going to come because of what happened.
Threaten?
Yes.
You have no understanding of mental price over anything.
What do you mean by that?
What do I mean by that? I mean that...
What do you mean by that in this argument?
That when somebody hurts somebody else, normally they understand, they acknowledge that. You have the ability to ignore it. And that's the problem for me.
Okay.
And every argument we had during our friendship was always there. It's not about the subject. It's always about the way you present.
See,
and
me,
the way
the subject. All I care about is the subject.
But you bash people sometimes.
When did I bash you yesterday? And what did I say?
You bash people
I said,
sometimes.
Where are you?
Look at the text.
That's what I said,
I'm not your friend anymore.
Where are
it's
you?
It's like, I'm not your friend anymore.
Where are you?
Okay, see the text.
Where are you? And where, where did I say I'm not your friend?
Read. I know you don't know because you write from the point of ego.
Right.
Read what you wrote.
Yeah, okay, so far.
So I'm saying again.
So far, I don't see anything that says it. You said you're so bad at picking up friends. And I said, find new ones.
Okay, no. What did you
say?
And then what did you wrote? We are not friends anymore.
What? I didn't say we're
not. Yes.
Let me get here.
If you're so hot by how good am a friend am I, you are welcome to call and be my friend.
No, what I said was, I'll see you tomorrow at 9:30 for the radio show or don't talk to me.
Only business. What did you say?
No, I said.
Okay.
I said, I'll see you tomorrow at 9:30 for the radio show or don't talk to me. That doesn't mean we're not friends.
So the thing is, don't talk to me doesn't say we're not friends.
It doesn't say
we're not friends. Don't talk to me doesn't say we're not friends.
Right, and then you said you want to talk about it like a grown man, which the only person not being a grown man in this case is you, but okay.
Yeah, right, because I didn't answer your calls.
At 9:30 in
person. I didn't answer your calls.
So I'll talk to you tomorrow at 9:30 in person.
Kimmy, I we do need Dr. Deb, but not for that.
Kimmy says, can we move on, right?
In that case, Dr. Deb will...
Hey, Kimmy, why don't you call us and referee this? I mean, I got a guest here who's paying for this spa time.
Yeah.
And we're arguing.
But he was here on time yesterday.
So why don't we introduce Joe Keller from Cross Country
Mornings? You can introduce Joe Keller.
And because he happened to be here yesterday. He happened to be here not during the argument, but during the events.
Yeah, I know. But he's a bit scared of you. That's why he won't tell you that I'm right.
You're not right.
I am right.
I won't pass any judgment.
You see? You know? That's the thing.
You're not right.
He was here, and he saw me wait for you, and he saw me call you twice while you didn't answer, and he was here.
And I was on the phone with somebody very important.
If you waited 5 minutes longer.
Mm-hmm. If you waited 1 minute longer.
And then what happened? I would maybe miss the meeting.
You
the lady was already in her truck, ready to go back to
she
her
She was waiting for you.
To her
just
house
like I was waiting
in
for you.
Maryland.
She was waiting for you just like I was waiting for you.
855-939-1137. That's 855-939-1137.
All right. Are you done now?
I was done.
You feel better now?
I was done yesterday.
This is what he does. He has to vent. And once he vents, he's fine.
Vent?
I understand.
Love you, Omri.
I do love you.
You're awesome, man. You're my best friend.
I know I'm your best friend.
And we have to have these riffs every once in a while.
It's not every once in a while. You don't understand something. As a best friend, there are also responsibilities as a best friend.
Okay, I want right in front of Joe, I'm going to say this. If you are ever, 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 ever late for anything I set up in the next 2 years, I'm leaving without you.
Now I will tell you that. Okay, if you ever, because that's the approach, a different approach, and we'll end with that. No, I can't because he has to say the last line. But I will tell you that. I know he will say something. I will tell you that because that's a different approach. If you ever, 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 ever need something, even at 4 a.m., call me and I will be there.
And I will be there for you too. But if you tell me you'll be there at 4:30 and you're there at 4:31, I'm not going to be there anymore.
If again,
so does this mean if you guys have a meeting set up, I have to be there too?
Well, you might need to be there to
referee.
Yeah,
we need the witness. Actually,
so anyway, let's talk.
Actually, there was supposed to be a judge here today, so I don't know. It actually could be perfect if the judge would be here today.
And the judge was supposed to be here today. The judge never called me.
Really?
Yeah, the judge was actually supposed to be here today, and you know, so we brought in Joe instead. I know, Kirk. I'm not talking to the microphone. I know. I'm actually looking to see if anybody is online making more comments that I, you know, with this argument. So I'm just checking something real quick. All right. So let's get back to whatever it is we're doing. Okay. So nobody's even online. You know why? We have to have this argument at 10 o'clock in the morning when nobody listens to our show anyway.
So people listen to arguments at 1 but not at 10.
Right. No, they'll listen to it at 2. Or 1. Okay. You're right. You won that argument. It's 1, not 2.
I don't look to win arguments. That's not the point in life, to win arguments. You know, I must tell you, because from all the people in this world, I'm the one with zero ego. Zero.
I wouldn't say that.
Ego.
No, I wouldn't even come close to saying that.
And that's the problem. Everybody else have so much. Everybody has so much, and I have zero ego. I don't care.
What?
You can say whatever you want. Now you can go to Joe Keller. Now you can go to Joe Keller. Yeah, Larry bought a new machine.
So, Mr. Joe Keller, I want to thank you so much for getting me my mortgage. I got to tell you something. So,
You're
for you guys
welcome.
who have been listening to the show for a while, you know I was trying to buy a house, and I'm going to tell you that. So, in my business or all the things I do, it's very difficult to prove my income. Now, the funny part is I make a lot of money, but like normally you just go, hey, here's your W-2s, here's your tax returns, here's all your stuff, and everything's great. But nothing on my stuff shows that I make enough income to buy the house I bought. So about 2 months ago, I'm like, okay, I want to buy a house, and this is the price. It's almost $3 million for the house. And I went to Joe, and I'm like, Joe, I really want to buy this house. I don't know what to do. And he's like, don't worry, I got you covered. I'm like, how? And he goes, don't worry, I got you covered. And like, and he says, you know, he does something, what was it called? It was called a bank statement loan, which I never heard of before, which is amazing because I've been in this industry for a really long time. Bank statement loan. So all I had to do was show my bank statement to show that money went in and out of my bank account several times. and it was enough money to cover it. And, you know,
it's not even the out.
Well,
what? It's not even the out.
Just care about the in. That's right. Just the in. Care about the in, which is the crazy part, too, because, you know, you could qualify. Technically, anybody could qualify for any loan then.
Technically, but what you have to do is you have to look at all the deposits going in. Okay, they exclude certain ones that would be transfers and stuff.
Right, sure. So it's not doubled.
Yeah. And then they average it over 12 months, and they give you 50% of the average. Now, the funny thing is if you get me an accountant letter that says your expense ratio is only 40%, now I can use 60% of the deposits.
So I didn't even do that.
We didn't even need to do that for you. We were okay at the 50 that they gave us.
Right, that's amazing. So it's almost like it's funny because I feel like the 80s are back here again.
Yeah, no, the 80s.
I'm sorry, 2008.
Exactly. I was about to say. I'm afraid it's going to be 2008 again.
It's not that bad yet. I don't think it's that bad either.
I think also this is at least money coming in that because there used to be a stated loan would be like, yes, I state that I make $100,000 a year and. You didn't. I mean, I remember these loans. I remember unemployed people saying, hey, yeah, I clean houses for a living, and I make $100,000. I'm like, wow.
And you could also state how much money you had in the bank without producing the bank statement.
Wow.
How is that?
That's just how they did it. That's how they did it. Stated income, stated assets.
Well, 2006, 7, 8, actually. And that was what blew it all up.
So I tell you what's worrying me about that. You know, I attend a lot of sheriff sale and all that, and I take a lot of money out of my account, and I also deposit a lot of money in my account.
Right.
You only look on the withdraws.
No, you only look at the deposits.
I'm sorry, the deposit. You don't look at the withdraws.
Correct.
The point is, if you will look at my account, let's say I haven't done anything besides going to a sheriff's sale, you will see a deposit of $40,000. You won't see a withdrawal of $40,000 a day before. So a person that basically want to trick the system...
Don't even trick it. It's like I know what you're saying when you say trick, but it's not even tricking it because it's literally what they're looking for. They're just looking for the deposits.
But how can they... I'm trying to figure out how can they do it without looking at the withdrawals.
I agree.
I don't understand.
I mean, you know, especially like, you know, like, I mean, you know, you look at the statement on, the, you know, my bank statement. It says, you know, money, whatever number is, but money in $250,000, money out $251,000.
Yeah. You saw my statements. Well, and in my statements, I have many certified checks of $40,000, $50,000.
Sure.
And most of the time, they go back into the account the day after. So they concluded that?
As long as it's not your money. Like, if that is your money coming from, say, like an equity line or something like that, we can't use that as a deposit because it's your money or it's borrowed money that you're putting in there. So they are looking at cash flow.
So you filter it through somebody.
Income. You know, and when I get all the bank statements, I don't do the analysis on it. I allow the lender to do the analysis, and they tell me what I can use for income to make the loan work. So I know up front when I'm doing somebody's pre-approval that they have X amount of dollars income. I ran their credit, so I know what X amount of dollars liabilities are. And then I tell them what they qualify for.
That's amazing.
It is.
But that was a complicated... I shouldn't say it was complicated. It was actually a very easy loan.
Yes.
But it's not the kind of loans that are likely that the average person is going to get.
No.
So the average person is going to get a loan that has, you know, normal either tax returns or
pay stubs, W-2s.
Right. So what is going on in the mortgage industry right now? I mean, I see different things like mortgage rates are coming down, mortgage rates are going up, interest rates are coming down, interest rates are going up. What is the reality?
Well, let's break that down. Interest rates, okay? Our friend Jerome Powell hasn't been very friendly.
No.
You know, he keeps
He's an
on.
Idiot.
Exactly. But we won't even get into that part of it. You know, they lower the Fed funds rate, and the next day mortgage rates go up. Because right after they lower the Fed's funds rate, they come out with a negative response that makes the market go crazy, and the 10-year treasuries fall off the cliff. And then it takes us a week to get back to where we were the same day as when they lowered the Fed funds rate. Are the rates going to get lower in the future? My crystal ball's a little cloudy as to when.
Yeah, right.
But next year, definitely. I think after Jerome Powell is gone, which I think is in May. So I think mid-year we're going to have a real nice turnaround. I think we're going to have a year or two of refinances. You know?
Yeah, you know, it's funny because, you know, me refinancing that loan would be great, except it would probably cost me $50,000 in fees to refinance it.
But to save 1%, okay?
Well, 1%, I don't think would cover it, because you got to figure that I'm not going to be in that house. I'm probably going to be in the house 7 to 10 years, 10 years max. I mean, you know, I'm 61. I'll be 62 next week.
Okay.
I'll be 62 next week, Omri. I'm going to cry. You know?
I'm going to be 40.
I know. You're going to be 40.
40.
We should kick him for saying
40.
That.
40.
You're going to be 40, and 40. I'm going to be 62.
There's no Ferrari dealership.
You could be my son.
Anywhere close. I don't want to be your son. Again, with the son and all that. Can you stop with that?
Why? Is there a problem with this?
I don't want to be your son.
Why? I don't want you to be my son either. But
you have your own son.
I mean, I have my own son.
Exactly.
Okay, fine.
Can you move on?
Yeah, no.
Okay.
But I could try.
Okay.
We need to record. I don't even know where to move on recording
you
is.
You should have it. It's
wait,
there.
I have it somewhere. Hold on. Wait, I can't find it. I lost it.
Okay.
Oh, man, that's terrible. Okay, but anyway, getting back to this. So I'm probably not going to be in the house that much longer. Right? I'll probably be in the house probably 7 to 10 years and, you know, either move to Florida or something. I don't even know. I mean, you know, I bought this house because, honestly, so this house, you guys know, it's gigantic.
Yes.
Right? It's like, it's the funniest thing because, you know, my wife and I, it's 61 and 62, whatever. We're you know, we upsized to something gigantic. And the reason we did it is because, you know, I want the pool, the cabana,
cabana.
The hot tub, right? You know, and
cabana.
The cabana.
And the cabana.
The cabana.
Also the cabana.
And the beautiful basement and, right. You know, and the bedroom.
Yes.
You know, and a beautiful kitchen, right?
Mm-hmm.
Everything else, I don't care.
It's a great
so,
house.
So it's like, yeah, I got four I bedrooms that I'm never going to even see, you know, because it's a five-bedroom house. So I've got four bedrooms I'm never even going to see.
Right.
But it's a, but I also realize that at this age, it's the last time I can own that house, a house like that. I mean, what am I going to do with a house like that? Right now, people would already question, what do you do with a house like that? But believe me, I'm going to enjoy it for the next 7 to 10 years. And then we'll probably downsize or something. So for me to refinance and pay 50, 60 grand to refinance and finance fees might not be worth it unless I'm looking at 2 or 3 points.
Okay.
So if we drop from, you know, if we drop from 6 to below 5, what was I, 6 3/4 I think I was?
Yes.
Yeah, if I drop to below 5, yeah, I'm going to say that's worth it to refinance. Mm-hmm. But it has to happen soon. If it happens in the next 5 years, it's not worth it either.
No. You know? Next year or year and a half.
Right. So, yeah, exactly. Next year and a half is what it would be worth. I mean, I was blown away. I never, you know, everything about this loan is, you know, it's like so out of my comfort zone, out of my realm.
Right.
For years ago, like, you know, I mean, when I saw my closing costs were $107,000 or something like that.
Right.
And it was insane. I never, like, you know, it was like, wow, it's an amazing amount of money, closing costs. I know you made a lot of money, which I'm really glad you did because you're worth it. You deserve it. You know, that's a great thing. And you did. You worked hard for this loan. But I'm going to tell you something else about Joe Kell. By the way, Joe, give them your phone number. Tell them how they can get a hold of you.
That mortgage guy, Joe Keller, 215-817-9084.
Say it again.
215-817-9084.
Now, you can imagine that, you know, not only at 61, I bought a lot of houses, but I also, because I'm a real estate investor, I bought a lot of houses. And I've dealt with mortgage companies since I was 18 years old when I bought my first house, right? And getting a mortgage is extremely stressful for everyone. Now, for me, it's not so stressful anymore because I'm used to a lot of the stuff that goes on.
Yes.
But what I did notice is you have an assistant named Kelly.
Yes.
And your assistant, Kelly, was the most amazing person ever.
She's
now,
great.
She would call me in anticipation of me getting nervous or me getting stressed. She would say, hey, listen, this is what's about to happen. You're about to get this note. It's a letter. Just sign it. Don't worry about it. It won't affect anything. Whatever it was that she said,
right,
that she said to do, and she said why it needed to be done, and she said how it needed to be done. That, to me, was the greatest thing ever. And the funny part was the only stress I had through the entire mortgage was the homeowner's insurance.
Oh, yes.
And it was the funniest thing because I had no stress in this mortgage whatsoever. You know, mostly because I kind of know how to do it, but also because Kelly would call me and she would say, you know, she would de-stress me before I even had a chance to be stressed.
Right.
And it was great. And it was funny because, like, it was the homeowner's insurance. It was so hard. I didn't realize that when you buy a house over $2.5 million, homeowner's insurance companies don't want to insure them.
It's a big deal.
Which I had no idea. I mean, you know, so that was the weird part. That to me, that was the weird part. But that's okay. Right. It is what it is. You know, we got the insurance eventually, and we got it at a decent rate.
Yeah, and having Kelly on my team, I mean, she's like the buffer between me and the buyers. I'm the first guy in. I take all the information for the application, get the application set up in the computer, and then it goes to her. Yeah. And she does her thing. She makes sure that all of the disclosures that are supposed to go out to the borrower go out. And then when you get this big, giant-size email of stuff to sign here,
right?
You know, she'll tell you what it is, okay, if you have any questions about it. A lot of people just go through it, click, 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 sign here, sign here, sign here. Right. And, you know, we're off to the races.
And of course, we're talking about a very big mortgage for me, but you'll handle a mortgage that's $100,000, of course, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, okay. The reason I want to bring it up, because I don't want everybody to think that, you know, only if you're buying expensive houses, the time you should call Joe. If you're buying expensive houses, you should call Joe. But if you're buying an inexpensive, and I shouldn't say inexpensive, because that's not a fair term, but, you know, the average person's house, that sounds terrible.
A lot of times,
no matter what I do, I put my foot in my mouth when I say something.
Just stay home.
Right? Yeah. Just stay home.
Just say home.
When you're purchasing a home,
yeah,
right, you still use Joe.
Yeah.
Right. Because honestly, I'm telling you right now,
it's regardless if you've ever bought a home
before and you had the stress of the mortgage, you're not going to have the stress through Joe's, you know, through Joe's team at Cross Country Mortgage, right?
Cross Country Mortgage. Right. We handle first-time home buyers, move-up buyers, second home buyers, investment property buyers. So whatever you're looking for, I also dabble in commercial. Right. We handle a small commercial up to 10 units.
And make sure you talk to Joe, not somebody else there.
Absolutely.
Well, Kelly, of course. But you know, because, you know, there are other people there, but Joe is the guy. I mean, Joe got this done. And not only that, you had gotten it done for a couple of
students.
Students love you, man. It's funny. They're like, yeah, Joe did it again. Joe got me a mortgage again. So you know, Joe also started out as a student, which is kind of cool. And, you know, now he's like, I don't even care about doing stock options in real estate.
I do.
I know you do. I'm just messing with you. He's making so much money as a mortgage broker for all the students because all the students love him.
Well, these types of loans, like your bank statement loan, that's what's in the industry. They're considered non-qualified mortgages and, you know, non-QM mortgages.
Okay.
There are other types of NQM mortgages. I did one for one of the students. It was an asset depletion deal. Basically, what we do is we take all the assets, add them all up, whatever, you know, they have liquid assets, including 401ks. We just have to reduce them by a certain figure. And then they divide it all by 60, and it gives us a monthly income that we can
use. That's pretty wild.
It's a crazy loan.
So there's all kinds of great mortgages out there that I didn't even know about.
And
that's another great one.
Another one we can use P&Ls, profit and loss statements from the accountant.
That's great.
Yeah. Right. No tax returns still, just the profit and loss.
So Kimmy's online. Kimmy says Joe is the best, and she put a little heart next to it. Is that cool?
Hi, Kimmy.
Kimmy's Army's number one fan.
Apparently, yeah, Joe's.
Right? And she's the biggest fan of the radio show, which I love because she's there almost every week. She's here. I would say she's here every week, but I think every once in a while she has to do something else.
So I have a question for you.
Yes.
About the profit and loss. How is it different than a DSCR?
Well, DSCR.
So why don't we talk about what a DSCR loan is first before you ask the question?
Okay.
Right? I'll tell you what, let's do this. Let's go to a commercial, Kirk. Take us to a commercial, and we'll come back. We'll talk about DSCR loans.
Hey, this is Larry Steinitz with Investor Schooling. Did you know that we have a radio show right here on WPHT every Saturday at 1 o'clock? It's called The Larry Steinitz Show. And you want to listen to this show because it's a live show and you can call in. In fact, here's the call-in number.
855-939-1137.
And when you call in, you can ask us questions about real estate, the stock market, even politics. Make sure you tune in Saturday, 1 o'clock. This is Larry Steinitz with Investor Schooling. Did you know that there are so many different ways to prepare for retirement, and annuities are not the answer? Come learn this Thursday by taking a free class on Investor Schooling. Come to Investor Schooling and you will learn so many different ways that you can make more money in retirement than you actually expected to. Go to InvestorSchooling.com and sign up for a complimentary class this Thursday. That's InvestorSchooling.com. That's InvestorSchooling.com. We'll see you there. This is Larry Steinitz with Investor Schooling. Did you know that you can buy real estate with absolutely no money out of your pocket? That's right. If you've listened to our show or if you've read my book, Money Hacks, I talk about how to buy real estate with absolutely no money out of your pocket. You should come this Thursday night to a complimentary class on investor schooling and learn more. Learn how to buy properties with no money. Learn how to make money at closings and learn how to make a monthly income. Go to investorschooling.com. That's investorschooling.com. Take your complimentary class this Thursday. This is Larry Steinitz with Investor Schooling. Did you know that you can leverage the stock market with a little bit of money to make a lot of money? That's right. We have something that we teach called stock options, and you can make a lot of money with a little bit of money using stock options. Yep, you got to learn how to do it. So go to investorschooling.com, and you will learn how to do it. Take a complimentary class this Thursday, and I'm going to teach you that and more. Investorschooling.com. That's investorschooling.com. We'll see you there.
Hey, this is Larry Steinitz. Do you want to become a public adjuster and take control of your career? My friend Peter Bodarenko, he runs Public Adjusting Academy, and he's hosting a complimentary class to show you exactly how to get started. Learn the ins and outs of the industry, gain valuable skills, and start your journey toward a rewarding career helping people get the claims they deserve. Sign up today at adjustingacademy.com or call 267-392-9907 to reserve your spot. That's adjustingacademy.com or 267-392-9907. Don't miss this opportunity to start a new career and make a real difference.
This program is paid for by Investor Schooling.
All right. Welcome back to the Larry Steinhaus Show. I am Larry Steinhaus, and I am here with the infamous Ami Mourad.
Mm-hmm.
And, of course, with our special guest, Joe Keller. I just want to make a shout-out real quick to Dan, who is in charge of marketing agency near you. He is doing all our websites, and I'll tell you what, he does a great job. If you've seen our websites, you see that they're great. But the cool part, too, is he can also do your marketing for you. He can do your Facebook ads for you. He can do anything you want for you. And you, what is it, yourfreeplan.com. So if you want to go to yourfreeplan.com, that's yourfreeplan.com. He will help you market your business. And that's a great idea. And, of course, the Sultan Income Fund. You know, Omri, we used to say that you get 3 to 4% a month return on your money. But our attorney says we're not allowed to say that anymore.
So we say
results are so good that our attorney says we can't tell you what they are. If you want to find out more about that, you can send a text message, the phone number 26786, that's 26786, and text the word Sultan to 26786, that's Sultan, S-U-L-T-A-N, and that will be the number. All right, cool. So getting back to you, Joe, I want to talk about a DSCR loan because
DSCR.
This is something that's new for about 2 or 3 years now?
Might be pushing 4.
Okay, cool. So that just shows you how long. And most people have no idea what this is. So what does DSCR stand for, first of all?
Debt Service Coverage Ratio.
Cool.
Basically, what we're doing is we're doing investment properties. We don't need to know your personal income. We don't need to know any of your personal finance stuff. So no tax returns, no pay stubs. All we need is
this bank. Sounds like 2008 all over again.
Yeah, but it's only for investment properties. Okay. It's not for owner-occupied.
Right.
And you have to verify assets.
Okay.
So we need 2 months' assets.
And when you say assets, you mean bank statements?
Brokerage, wherever the money is coming from for the deal. Plus, you need 6 months' reserves.
Okay.
Okay.
Yeah, 6 months' reserves seems to be a big thing now.
Yes.
So it seems to be like every loan you have to have 6 months' reserves. Because I remember you asked me for that, and I was like... And I'm like, you know, it's funny, like, I just sent you over one of my statements, and it was fine. It was like, oh, what a pain, because I think I had to send them all. And I'm like, all you needed was the 6 months. So I sent you one statement that had showed 6 months, and I was like, hey, fine, that's enough.
Well, in 2008, we had people scraping the bottom of the cookie jar, not verifying anything,
right.
Coming to settlement, and the next month they're broke, and the first payment rolls around,
right.
and they still have no money in the
right.
bank.
Right.
You know, so that was... You know, a big thing. 2008, you could spend a whole hour on a show talking about
that. Oh, yeah, absolutely.
You know.
Yeah, 125% loans, reverse amortization. I mean, some of these were nuts. I remember being offered a reverse amortization loan. Now, reverse amortization loan means you're paying less than even the interest. Less than the interest, and they keep tagging on the difference to the back of the loan. How could anybody not know that could be a problem? And that was nuts.
And I worked for Washington Mutual at the time,
oh.
and they were one of the largest lenders out there doing that type of loan. Now,
crazy, crazy loan.
I never used that loan for first-time home buyers. Right. I had many of them.
Oh, did you?
They were great, you know, to manage your cash flow.
Yeah, but
especially
you,
if you
just explodes at some time, you have to face the piper.
If you made additional principal payments when the interest rate was that low at right. the teaser rate at the 1.95.
Yeah, I know, but it wasn't 1.95. You were paying 1.95, but the interest rate was still 3 or 4 or 5%, and you were only paying 1.95
for the first year. And yeah, then it could only go up a certain amount each year. So in the first couple of years, you still were at a discounted rate, but you had to pay at least that rate.
Right, right, right.
You know, and then you could pay extra, and you could hyperamortize the loan. Some of my loans, I was 5 years ahead on them.
Wow.
You know, after,
that's pretty neat.
Yeah, you know, after a couple of years.
Okay. But anyway, I'm sorry. Let's get back to the DSCR loan. And so how do you qualify for DSCR loan?
DSCR, you need a credit score of 660 or better.
Okay.
You need the assets in the bank. Okay, so 20% for a single family home, 25% for 2 to 4 units.
How much back they look?
For the assets?
Yeah.
2 months.
So I need to put the money in the bank and wait for 2 months before I'm coming to you?
Yeah, because I can't see it go in the bank.
You need to see a statement.
Right.
With
but
that
you can use a HELOC. You know that.
What?
You can legally use a HELOC. So,
yes.
So if you have a HELOC loan or you have a line of credit loan that's available.
No, you don't understand my question.
Okay, sure.
So normally in a mortgage, they want three months bank statements.
Right.
So in each one, in one of those, they will see the money from the HELOC coming to my account.
No, but it's okay.
The HELOC
you
is
can
okay.
Use the HELOC.
The problem is if you have a large deposit that, say, is cash that you got from your uncle, and we have no way of verifying.
My brother-in-law.
Like, yeah, if your brother-in-law gave
you a loan. I cry every night, you know.
That happens, you know. So we have to, like, have that money come in, and we don't want to see that. So that's part of the balance 2 months ago.
Okay.
Right. So, but a HELOC's okay. You can use a HELOC.
Yes.
You just can't. You just can't. They need to have some kind of. They need to. You need to see where the money came from.
Okay.
That's all. So HELOC is fine. That's why I tell people always have a HELOC open on your. If you have a house, get a HELOC. Even if you don't use it, just get it. Have it open because in case our opportunity comes, you have the available cash ready to buy that opportunity if it comes.
I'm trying now to increase mine. Actually, I'm trying to. You know, I have an umbrella HELOC against two of my properties.
It's not an umbrella. It's a
whatever they call it.
So back to the DSCR.
Joint
blanket. Yeah,
whatever.
Blanket,
yeah.
So back to the DSCR. I mean, the way you qualify
Debbie now. He's Debbie now. He's on track.
We annoy him, so he's saying.
Sitting in Debbie's seat. So yeah.
Okay.
You can say shh to us. Yeah.
Yeah. You can say. Can we move on?
Can we move on?
Yes.
Okay. So anyway. Before I lose my train of thought, they look at the rent that you have coming in. So let's say the mortgage payment that you're looking at is $1,000. If your rent payment is $1,000, you're 1-to-1. It's a done deal. There are even DSCR deals out there that will go to 0.75-to-1. So you can have negative rent. Okay, this is 2008 happening here.
Yeah, right.
You know, they'll allow you to be a little negative on some of them, but you have to be an experienced investor. Okay, it can't be your first investment property. And, you know,
so
you have
you're
to
an experienced
have,
investor, why would you buy a negative cash flow property? I guess, I'm not sure. I have bought negative cash flow properties sometimes accidentally, but most of the time, if I've ever bought them, if I buy them intentionally, there's a reason for it, and you're right. So it does happen, you're right.
And this is like in the mortgage business. Everything that they give up, they're going to charge you for it. So you're going to pay more for something like that. But on the flip side, if you have 1.25, okay, you got 25% more coming in than what the mortgage is. Now you get a little bit of a break the rate.
Okay.
So
this is an easy mortgage to qualify for an investment property.
For an investment property, you can do it single family. You can do it 2 to 4 units. You can do mixed use up to 8 units, and you can do residential up to 10 units.
Okay. What about for fix and flips and rehabs?
I do have fix and flip money available. It's a totally different product. generally you need 20% down for the purchase product or for the purchase property. Sure. They'll lend you 100% of the renovation costs as long as the end loan ends up to be 70% of the ARV, you know, as repaired value.
So we should probably talk about North Main Street.
Yeah,
and renovating that property. But we need to actually start to seriously talk about that property now that we we're settling down some other things.
What happened yesterday?
He's going today. I'm sorry, going tomorrow. The guy changed it to tomorrow.
Okay,
he's going to go see tomorrow. So we have this property. You know about it. It was the one that we bought at the auction. That was we thought we lost
Richland
all the money. Richlandtown, yeah, right.
Okay,
and we'd love to do something with this property. I mean it's like we either sell it or do something with it, right? And we're kind of stuck. We got a couple little issues with it. Because they have a sewer moratorium for two years, or one year, and I don't really know how much longer that's for. We need to go find out because we want to turn it into a 14-unit apartment, though.
No, we want to do storage units.
Whatever, storage units. By the way, if you do storage units, you don't need to.
I'm saying that for months. That's what we should look.
It's just huge.
It will be tons of storage units.
We can certainly talk to the architect about it. I just want to be able to convert it to something more. A better use afterwards.
If I learned something is that people have
stuff
that they can't throw.
Okay, but hold on. I want to get back to because we will talk about this, but I want to talk because we got Joe here, and I want to talk about the loan. So, can we get a loan from you on this property for rehabbing this property?
That's going to be a tough one if you're doing 14 units now, because that would be a commercial.
Right. Sure.
Okay. I do have people to refer or places I can go to place something like that. I even have some contacts with some local banks that I think would be very interested in that project because of where it is.
Yeah, because of where it is, exactly. I mean, it's such a great property. Mm-hmm. It's just we have to really sit down and do something.
Awesome location, yeah.
Yes.
And it could be something so beautiful. And that's kind of why I like it. You know, if we did 14-unit apartments, it would be beautiful apartments, or we could do... You know, mixed use. I mean, one of the greatest things we could actually do is, it's funny, everybody who sees it says the same thing, a microbrewery.
Oh.
Everyone who walks in, they walk in their property and go, I want to put a microbrewery in here. I'm like, and they're like, you should put a microbrewery in here. I said, no. I ran an ice cream store for 2 years. I didn't even run it. I had somebody else run it. I lost my shirt on that. Right? I mean, you know, I lost a lot. I lost a lot of money on an ice cream store, right? You know, so I am not doing a microbrewery that's going to cost me $250,000 to $300,000 just to build it.
Right,
and then watch it. You know, not make money. So I'm
but
just
he,
not doing
he
it.
He will convince
somebody else wants to do it.
You got to get somebody that's already in that business to go.
He
in
will
there
convince
and do that.
Somebody else, like maybe Debbie's husband, to do it.
Debbie's husband wants to do it bad. He actually said if I do it, he wants that's he wants the job.
Debbie was so pissed.
I know.
Debbie was so pissed.
What are you talking to Phil about? I'm like, I'm talking to Phil about, you know, Phil wants to open a microbrewery.
I'm not allowing you to talk to Phil anymore.
Yeah, exactly right. It was hysterical.
So you do a microbrewery with a blues night where you have a house blues band.
I know.
And you do an open
you
stage.
Fit right in. The way you look right now, you'd fit right in. If you're watching on Facebook, you know what I'm talking about. You'd fit right in.
I wanted to do a swingers club there, but he don't want to do that.
Yeah, that's tough to sell.
The thought of seeing you naked was the only reason I didn't want to do it.
I know. I got you. I'm not going to say that I'm a member or you're a member, but...
A member of what?
Can we move on?
A member of what?
Of the swingers club.
Are there any more swingers club? I have no idea.
I don't know how the subject even came up.
You brought it.
How did the subject come up?
I have no idea.
Really?
Yeah. Can we move on? Yes, we can.
We found it.
Yeah.
We found it. All right. So getting back to you. So DSCR loans, that's a great alternative for people to get.
Yes.
To be able to get investment properties. They still have to put 20 to 25% down depending on the property. Okay.
Right.
Let's go down talk to the average person buying a house they want to move into.
Okay.
So let's talk about conventional loans, FHA loans, and how to qualify for those and how they work.
Okay. Those all work as what we call full doc loans. So we're fully documenting all the income and the assets.
And this is an average person who has a job.
Has a job, has W-2s, has pay stubs.
Right, exactly, right.
And saves their money in the bank. Not under the mattress.
Right.
Okay. So as long as everything is documentable, then we're okay. We run the credit, standard credit report. You could do an FHA loan as low as 580 on the credit score.
Okay. So with FHA loan, let's talk about that.
Okay.
So what do people have to put down on an FHA loan?
3.5% is the minimum down payment.
So now, if you take 3.5%, so you buy the house for obviously $100,000.
Okay.
Can they come to closing with $3,500?
Yes.
No. The problem is, though, there's closing costs. Right.
Right. You're only allowed 6%. Okay, seller's assistance towards the closing costs.
So you remember, you're talking to an audience who has no idea what you're talking about.
Okay.
And I want that is where I wanted to go, but you 6%
of the purchase price. Right,
so here's what happens. So what you can do is you can actually tell the seller, listen, the house is $100,000. I'll give you $106,000 for it.
Mm-hmm.
Give me $6,000 back for closing costs. Which, by the way, that's what I did in my loan.
Yes.
Even though I bought this house with a huge loan, I actually got $125,000 back from the seller
right.
on my house. And the reason I did that, to cover the closing costs, but the reason I did that was because I was able to go to table with less than 20%, even though it was still, my loan was still 80%, mm-hmm. but I was able to go to table with less than 20% because I don't want to take, I mean, look, you know, I make a lot of money on my money.
Right.
So the least amount of money I can come to the table with in a buying a house, especially my primary residence, the least amount of money I come to the table with is much better for me.
Right.
And I didn't even know if you can get it. You can't get a, can you get a loan that's 10%? Could I have gotten a loan with 10% down on my house? Probably not.
No.
Right? Yeah, I didn't think so, right?
No.
Yeah, so my house, minimum 20%, no matter what, because of the price, right?
Correct.
Yeah, so I had to come up with 20%, which is fine. I had it, but I didn't want to take the money out of whatever investments they're in, so I took at least, as a matter of fact, I sold the house I was in. And that was funny, because people were like, the mover was hysterical. Because the house I'm in, I sold the house for $600,000.
Right.
So you can imagine the size of that house. I'm going from a $600,000 house to a $3 million house.
Mm-hmm.
And the only reason I even, like, it was at the point where, like, you know, if you heard the story, Debbie House Shaming, you ever hear a story?
No, I never heard the story.
So, you know, my peers, you know, they're all making a lot of money like I am. And they
You're
all have
what?
These beautiful houses. What?
You're what?
My peers.
Peers.
Peers. My friends.
Okay.
Like, you know, like the people I hang around with.
Okay.
Not you.
Okay.
You're getting there, though.
Maybe.
I'm going to bring you up with me. That's my goal.
I'm not good in being dragged.
I am dragging you. That's why we have a mobile home park. That's why we have
Don't drag me.
I'm dragging you up.
No. You put too much stress on me.
So some of my peers, like, you know, some of my mentors and some of my friends and, you know, especially my friends in California, you know, they have these $2 million, $3 million houses, you know, and you know, I go to their house and I'm thinking, you know, I don't know if I want to invite them to my house, you know. But, you know, I mean, my house was paid for, everything, you know, it's like, I had no mortgage, I had no expenses. You know, it's funny, the landscaper came the other day. The landscaper came and said, yeah, we're gonna trim up the hedges and pull the weeds.
You know, using the same landscaper?
No, different landscaper. And one tree was dead, take the tree out, right? So if I added up all the landscaping on the house that I came from, since I owned the house, it wasn't even one quarter of the amount of money I just gave him to weed this place, trim the hedges, and take down one tree.
Right.
I was like, what did I do? So anyway, Debbie house shamed me because Debbie came to pick me up one day. Mm-hmm. And my house, she'd never been in my house before. She came to pick me up, and I get in the car, and she goes, I wasn't expecting this from you. And I'm like, really? You know, it's like, my house is bigger than yours. And, you know, Debbie has an average house in Langhorne. And, you know, I had a really nice, average, Victorian-looking house, beautiful house.
Mm-hmm.
But it was, you know, it was just small. And it wasn't, you know, it was 2,300 square feet. And it was just small. It wasn't, you know, it was nice. You know, we made it the way we wanted. We bought it. We completely renovated it when we bought it. We made it absolutely gorgeous for us.
Right.
But now I got all my peers, and, like, you know, I'm embarrassed. And Debbie was the final straw. She house shamed me, so I had to buy this house.
My God.
So I took that money from that house, and I bought this house with the seller assist.
Sure.
You know, and that was it. I even got money back at closing because, well, you know, when I sold the house, I got a little bit of money back.
Right.
Because I sold the house for more than what I needed. So it actually worked out really well, and now I have a really incredibly high mortgage, which is funny because it's such a weird number, you know. But it's okay.
People don't understand, you know. I'm looking from my perspective. Sometimes it's great to have your own home, but I tell you, I'm set with my with our insurance agent yesterday, and he couldn't get why am I renting.
Some people don't get that.
It's
not a bad idea.
We had a 10-minute conversation, and I told him I was very open. I told him what I own and how much I'm getting and why right. my money work better for me right now.
That's correct.
And in my rent in investment right. property instead of in my own home. He couldn't get it.
That's so. It's funny because a lot of people don't understand that that if you buy a house, it's not an investment. It's a liability.
Yes, I agree.
I mean,
it's a car. It's exactly like a car.
Well, no, not exactly, because cars go down in value. At least homes go up in value.
Yeah.
But it's a liability, because you're not making any money on that money. So every month I pay my mortgage, I don't get any money back for paying that mortgage. I mean, I get a little bit of tax break for the interest. I don't even get the whole thing anymore. But I get a tax break for the interest, but that's all I get. I don't make money on that money. So if you buy investment property and you're paying whatever $2,000 a month on your mortgage, and you're getting a rent for $2,500, you're making $500 on that mortgage on that payment. So that's an asset, not a liability. So owning a house is a liability. So you're paying rent, which is the same exact thing as somebody paying a mortgage, and you don't have to worry about repairs. You don't have to worry about anything that happens to the house. You don't have to worry about the taxes. The taxes are somebody else's problem. I realize you're paying that in your rent, but you don't have to worry about it. Renting is not a bad idea.
If anything, since I moved in, because I requested a lot of things to be done, I gained money. You know why?
Why?
You won't believe it. Because my landlord right now have hard time finding people.
Oh, you it's funny. They hired your guy.
So
that's hysterical. So Army has a small handyman business.
Mm-hmm.
It's kind of like a handyman contracting business, kind of like right in the fringe. And so they hired your guy to do it, so you made money. That's hysterical.
Yeah.
That's brilliant. That's brilliant.
So right. I keep sending her invoices for everything he do.
So let's go back to FHA loan.
Yes.
So FHA loan, so $3,500, they can come for a $100,000 house. They can come to a closing with $3,500, and they can get seller assist from the seller. Now, their real estate agent needs to know how to do this.
Right.
And their mortgage broker needs to know how to do this. They need to understand it, right? Right. And of course, the house has to appraise, but the house house always appraises. So if they're asking $100,000 for the house, and they got to raise the price to $106,000, it's okay.
Right.
The house
in this market right now, appraisals are not a big issue. Right. And actually, there's even a way that you can bump that 6%, say up to 8%. Where in Philadelphia, transfer tax is 2%.
Yeah,
there's a section on. Yeah. On the agreement of sale, where you can state that the seller is paying all the transfer tax. It's on page 1, line 14 or something like that. So the seller pays the transfer tax, and they can do 6%.
Oh, that's great.
So that pretty much gets the borrower in the property with just the down payment. Now,
that's fabulous.
There's other programs out there.
Yeah, but hold on, what is that? So what does it cost them? So do they have to... They have to get PMI, right? Which is the private mortgage insurance. It's a private mortgage insurance. They call it that. Private.
It's MIP in an FHA loan.
Okay.
PMI in a conventional.
Okay, gotcha. And this is basically insurance that
default insurance.
Right. So right. So what you pay for, which is fine. Mm-hmm. So that costs a lot of money.
Not a lot. 0.55% in the monthly. 1.75 upfront. That's financed into the loan.
Okay.
So. Yeah, you know, not a lot monthly.
Right, right, sure. But that doesn't go away. It used to be that when the house reached 80%,
it went away back in the day. FHA, it's forever. You have to refinance to get out of the MIP.
Which I think is terrible. MIP. I think they should take it, go back the old way.
Yeah.
Because now people have to pay to refinance.
True.
And that's expensive.
Mm-hmm. FHA does have a streamlined method of refinancing.
Oh, they do.
But that's FHA to FHA.
Okay.
You know, what you want to do to get rid of the MIP is go FHA to conventional.
Right.
Okay.
All right. So that's another thing. And then, so what do you suggest to somebody who wants to get a mortgage now?
Mm-hmm.
They're looking to get a house right now. They want to get pre-qualified.
For an owner-occupied mortgage,
yep.
Give me a call, 215-817-9084. Once again, that's 215-817-9084.
And you are Joe Keller.
I'm Joe Keller. You'll speak with me. I answer my phone. I can take all your information over the phone, or if you prefer to do it electronically, you know, just send me a text message with your email, and I'll send you the electronic
application.
Nobody listens
to our show wants to do it electronically.
I know, but I got to say it.
Even me, I told you, I don't... Don't give me anything electronic.
No, there is a person here.
I just don't even want to do it.
There is a person here who said, call me personally. Mm-hmm. Who want to do it electronically? It's like our insurance guy.
Right.
He said, call me. Who want to do it electronically?
Yeah, exactly.
I get some first-time buyers that are early 20-somethings.
Yeah, they want to do everything electronic, right.
And they want to pick up their telephone and click, click, click.
Right, they don't
want
to talk to anybody. Cause, exactly. Because COVID made sure that even as we were moving towards not having any social interaction with people, COVID made sure that we absolutely will never have any social interaction with people anymore. Right.
For some reason, people are still very, very in favor of this idea.
This is deli near me. By my house is a deli. Remember, we ate there the other day when you were over my house. This is deli near me, and I go into the deli, and there's people behind the counter.
It's an old-time diner.
It's a deli.
It's a deli.
It's a deli, right? I walk in, and this guy behind the counter, hey, what do you want? He writes down a piece of paper what I order, right? And he makes the sandwich in front of me, right? And then I bring it to the cash register, and the lady behind the cash register says, hi, how are you? And has a conversation with me, and I pay for my sandwich. And then she says, you know, cash or credit card. And I cash her credit card. She does it. And she gives me, you're not going to believe what she gives me to put my sandwich in.
A bag.
Really? Can you believe that? She actually gives me a bag.
How much it costs you?
Nothing.
No.
The bag doesn't cost anything.
The bag is
and,
free.
And the bag actually says, have a nice day on it.
Wow.
It's amazing. So, like, I don't want to go anywhere. I don't want to go to McCaffrey's. I'm going to go to this deli. I don't care how much the sandwiches are. It's just that I get friendly service
normally,
and I get a bag.
Normally, those places are actually the cheapest.
I know. They normally are. You're right. They normally are. But, you know, and the sandwich is really good, too. I can't remember. I think it was Hometown Deli, I think it was called.
Yeah.
You know, near my house. Hmm. But it was just really, really good. All right. Anyway, we got about We got 1 minute left.
No. You get 20 seconds left.
No. Oh, we got 5 seconds left. Oh, I got to go. Anyway, this is Larry Sinestos. Thank you 15. So much. I'm done. Yeah, you're right.
You're not done. You have 15 seconds. No, 10 seconds.
Okay, fine. Goodbye, everybody.
Goodbye. We have 10.
InvestorSchooling.com. Reach out to Joe Keller, and we'll see you next week.
One.
Bye.
This program is paid for by Investors Schooling. All opinions or statements expressed on the program are solely those of Investors Schooling or their guests and do not reflect the opinions of WPHT or Odyssey.